Bible says here that the gospel of Jesus Christ was a mystery until the Lord Jesus Christ actually came into the world and lived and died. There were things that were known about the gospel in Old Testament days, but the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't. In the days in which Paul lived, there were lots of mystery religions. They were a plague because they were mostly indecent, and they had rites to join, things you had to do to join, and many of them were not nice at all. And so Paul is saying here, there is a real mystery in Christianity, but it's perfectly wonderful, perfectly lovely, not like those. And the word mystery, as he uses it, is a transliteration of the Greek word, letter for letter, mystery. But it doesn't mean mystery as we think of things mysterious. It means something that can't be understood unless God reveals it. So it's there to be understood, but person A might not understand it, person B might understand it, person C might not understand it, person D might understand it. It's a mystery until God reveals it to your heart. That's the usage of the word mystery. Now he says it's a hidden wisdom. The only real way to everlasting life and to know God and to walk with him is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wisdom to know this that God is revealing by the gospel. And he says, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. God always intended that every one of his people should hear this message and be glorified by it. It does us good, it transforms our life, and it will take us to heaven. So Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. None of the kings, none of the generals, none of the justices, because if they had really known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord Jesus. This is a wonderful thing, that ordinary people like you and me can know things that cleverest men don't know. Kings, authorities, people who've been to university, and it's all tied up with the Lord Jesus, knowing him, meeting him, understanding. It's a mystery that God reveals now to one, now to another. I was 16. The year I was born, you know, I can't really remember that. I was about 4 before I have any real memories of the past. But you know, the year before I was born might just as well have not have happened. Everything that's happened since makes sense, but nothing that happened before I came, it's just different. We all know that experience, you see. We know what that is like. But we know that we shall go to heaven if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. However poor we are, however simple we are, however intelligent we are, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a mystery, but when God reveals it, it all makes tremendous sense. Okay, well now, that's the reading. We've got another hymn, and then I'll really start. 450, is that one you've got next? Andrew, I changed the order, yeah. But few among the carnal wise, this is what he says in 1 Corinthians 1, if any of you want to read it. But few among the carnal wise, but few of noble race, obtain the favour of thine eyes, almighty King of grace.
Ah.
Find the word we're looking for and who said it. What's the word we're talking about? Does it come in this verse? What's the word? Mystery, that's right. And who spoke these words? Can you just see by quickly looking? Yes, it was Jesus. That's right. He's talking to his disciples. They didn't understand what he'd been talking about, a parable. And so he says, unto you, that's the disciples, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto others it's not given. Now, what is the mystery of the kingdom of God? The answer is very simple. The mystery of the kingdom of God is that the people who belong to that kingdom, Christians who love the Lord Jesus, aren't all of them under Queen Elizabeth, aren't all of them under the President of Ghana, aren't all of them under President Obama, but they're some everywhere in the world. And where those people are is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where he reigns in their hearts. And that's the mystery. There's no other kingdom like it. He reigns in the hearts of his people wherever they are, scattered across the world. Now, but we've lost that. That's the mystery because it's different. And unless the Lord Jesus had revealed it, we wouldn't have guessed it. We wouldn't have known. And the next two verses I want you to look up are just to see something else, just to solve a problem, nothing else really. Just in Matthew 13:11, I'll get someone to read it out in a minute. To be looking between the difference between this verse and the next one. Okay? Anyone like to read Matthew 13:11 to me? on then, Andrew.
But when they shall lead you...
And sorry, Matthew 13, 11.
Oh, sorry.
Yep. You all right?
He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
It's exactly the same as we've had in Mark, but this is Matthew.
Okay.
Are you all ready? You're paying attention. I want, when you've lost this page and gone to the next, I want to know what's different. Okay, you're looking for Luke 8, verse 10. Of course, you can cheat like me, of course, and have both of them. Who's going to read to me the first half of this verse?
And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God.
Okay, that'll do. What's the difference?
Mysteries of God.
Sorry?
Mysteries of God and mysteries of kingdom.
Yes, that's right. One said the mysteries, do you remember, the kingdom of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And the other said the mysteries... I've lost the verse now. It's getting late for me. The mysteries of the kingdom of God. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But he's talking about exactly the same thing. So the expression, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, while it may have just some detailed difference, is really the same thing. The same thing applies to kingdom of heaven as the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is in the hearts of his people. He reigns in their hearts across the world. But that is a foretaste of what it will be like in heaven. So the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, and the kingdom of God are one and the same thing. But the emphasis, kingdom of heaven, is that the heavenly things, it's a foretaste of heaven to have the Lord Jesus reigning in your heart on earth. Okay. Romans 16:25. Do you want to read this?
Okay. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began.
So this is revision, okay? But it's written in another place, written by Paul. The mystery was kept secret since the world began, okay? That is revealed by the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Just the same thing. It was a secret. We're let in on a wonderful secret. And it's amazing, really. I don't know how many Christians there are in the world who are real believers, but it would only be a small proportion of the world's population. And at any time in history, it's only ever been a small population. Added all these together, and it's the biggest kingdom there's ever been. But at any one time, it's a revelation, and it's a wonderful thing to have it revealed and to understand the gospel, to believe your sins are forgiven, to be able to come and be friends with God, and to know that we live forever with him in glory. This is the mystery that is being spoken about here, and it's all to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now if we take a break from the subject just for one verse and look up Deuteronomy 29:29. Does anybody know what Deuteronomy 29:29 is about? Never mind. I always remember it because it's 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29. Would you like to read it for us? Would you like to read this verse?
Can we read it?
Oh, yes. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
There you've got a picture. If God doesn't reveal anything, there's no way we can know it. Secret things belong to the Lord our God. There's some things we'll never discover in this world, maybe never at all. But the things that he does reveal, they're ours. And the gospel is the main one of all of them. Here's an Old Testament saying, but it just gets it all right, doesn't it? The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things which are revealed, those things which are revealed, belong unto us and to our children forever. Okay, so we're dealing with that wonderful secret that God has revealed to many people through the preaching of the gospel. And we always long that it might come to us and to our children. Now, Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, A, E, I, O, the order of the vowels. Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 9. I'm not going to be very long tonight. We're probably halfway through. Because I thought Lord's Day, you were all getting tired by the end of the day. Ephesians 1 and verse 9. Maybe I'll explain verse 10 as well. Extra. As a treat. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Christ. Now, let me try and explain that. It's not as difficult as it sounds. By the gospel of the Lord Jesus, God has made known to those who believe the mystery. This time, it's the mystery of his will. God has a purpose. And the key to life is to understand that purpose. God's purpose is to take out of this whole wicked world a people for himself and transform them and change them, forgive them, make them heirs of heaven. That's the great purpose. You don't understand history unless you understand that. The Lord is head over all things to his church. But this is God's great purpose. Out of a sinful world, to take sinners, some of them the worst, some of them not too bad, but all sinners, to take sinners and make them perfect through Christ, forgiving them their sins, giving them a new life. Okay? That's his purpose. Now, you've got this word dispensation. Forget chemists and dispensaries and things like that. It has nothing to do with that. Whatever. Think economics. Economics. The word economics is made up of two Greek words and simply means household management. Okay? Household management. Oikos is household or house. And nomos is the law of the house, and in this particular case it's best translated, if you like, household management. Economy is the household management of the state, particularly its finances, but also its policies. But get the idea, economics, economy means household management. And that's the word that they've translated dispensation. So, what have we got here? Well, we've got that the Lord, in his good pleasure, has made known to believers in Christ what his purpose is. Okay? Now, that in the management of everything going on in the world that God does, in the management, He's going to bring everything to center on Christ. Okay. Things in heaven, the angels, things on earth, people. Those who believe in him and those who don't. But everything is gathered together in Christ. You don't understand that. You live in the world and you haven't a clue what's going on. You just hope to get the best out of it you could. But God has a purpose. And that is that Christ will be have the preeminence. He will be the King of Kings. He will be seen. He'll have a people of a kingdom who are voluntary, who love him, who owe everything to him. And some of them will be Jews, some of them will be Iranians, some of them will be Afghans, some of them will be Filipinos, some of them will be Americans, South Americans, South Africans, British. Some of them will be 1st century, some of them 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, some of them 5th century BC, 4th century BC. But in the economy, the management of the nations and the management of the world and the management of the times, the same purpose holds good. That he is going to bring all those people who are trusting in the Lord to be centered on Christ as their Saviour, and those who don't will be centered on Christ as their judge. All these things in Christ. You're beginning to build up the picture. You should get a very strong overview of what God has intended. A page or so on, chapter 3. Verses 3 and 4. He uses the word dispensation in verse 2, if you're scanning verses 1, 2, before 3 and 4. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And what's that mystery? That the Gentiles, which was the name that the Jews gave for everybody who wasn't a Jew, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So here you have the mystery of Christ, which joins everybody, Jew and Gentile, no matter where you come from, no matter what your background. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what your education, culture, you're in Christ. And this is the mystery that has been revealed, but wasn't revealed before Christ came. And in verse 9, he's talking about that I may preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Just something a little different here. When the angels look down and see people in the world being changed and loving the Lord Jesus Christ, when they look down and they see the gathering into a body which is known as the church of those who love the Lord Jesus, they are amazed. But the purpose is that heaven and earth, both evil and good powers, should see that Christ is the centre of the universe according to God and his people. You see, all these things have been hidden to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So the church on earth is part and parcel of these wonderful things. I'm only giving a pencil sketch. I'm not going into a great deal of detail now. This is background for the rest of the week. Colossians, chapter 1. Next letter. Well, next letter, book 1. Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 1. Verses 26 and 27. Now, will you let your eye run down to the end of verse 27? If you only go away with one verse, this would be the one to go away with tonight. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into a person's heart, ruling and governing all they do, but the fact that Jesus is your Lord and Saviour and Director of all the things you do is your glory. It's that which will make you different. It's that which will give you the good things in life that are important that we can't buy. It'll be that that takes you to heaven. Got the idea? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay. So let's go back to verse 26. The mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations. We've had that, haven't we? Okay. But now is made manifest to his saints. And the saint simply means not someone special, but anybody who's sanctified by the Spirit. Any believer is sanctified, and the word saint is the word, ordinary word for ordinary Christians. They're sanctified by the Spirit of God. So, this has been hidden, but now it's made manifest to his saints, every believer in Christ, including those here who believe. Now, but God has something he's going to do. He's going to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. He's going to save, as we've seen, lots and lots of people who are not Jews. In the Old Testament days, with one or two exceptions, it was only Jews. Do you know how many people are going to be saved among the Jews? In symbol, you remember, in the book of Revelation, there were 144,000. Do you remember? But that's a symbol for a perfect number. But it isn't half as many as the Gentiles. After that, you remember, he saw a great number of those. That's the next verse. Which no man could number. That's the Gentiles. So the mystery which has been hid is that God will save a large, large number of Jews. But thousands and thousands upon thousands more that aren't Jews. And there was never the hope of that before, because the Jews despise the Gentiles. And it all hangs on the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone in whose heart he lives, he is the hope of glory, whether he's Jew or Gentile. So here is this great purpose of God, that he has revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ his great purpose. Chapter 4 and verse 3. I don't think you're going to have any problem with this verse now. He says, pray for us. Paul, this is Paul again. That God would open unto us a door of utterance. Give me opportunity. Pray that I have opportunity. What to do? To speak the mystery of Christ. Well, you know what he's going to say now, don't you? You know what the gospel is. You know how he's preaching. This is new. But that he should be able to do it. So whenever you come across the word mystery, you know what Paul is preaching about and talking about. Two more, and then we're finished for tonight. And then we should really get going another night. Revelation chapter 10. Last book of the Bible. Revelation 10 and verse 7. one day. Just that expression in the middle of the verse, the mystery of God shall be
finished.
The mystery of God shall be finished. What does that mean? It means, of course, that this world will have come to an end. It means that the Lord Jesus Christ will have returned. It means that he will have gathered together in one everybody who's believed in him whenever they lived and wherever they lived. It's finished, and all his people join him forever and ever and ever and ever in heaven, where there's no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying, no more tears. The mystery of God is finished. Okay. And then finally, in 1 Corinthians 4, back to where we started with this. Paul says, now I want you to think of me in a certain way. Okay. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He's talking about himself and those who go with him. He's talking about any minister, any preacher, any evangelist. That expression, stewards of the mystery of God. Now, we don't use the expression steward very much, but until probably the previous century, steward was a very common word. But it referred to a servant. Now, there were very trusted, educated servants in days gone by. Abraham's steward is probably typical of them. And it's written of Abraham's steward that Abraham had no clue how much he had, but his steward knew. And he trusted his steward, not only that his steward knew, and that his steward could be trusted, but that his steward also would do his work for him. He would reckon who should get paid when, how much they should get paid, how the money should be invested, should they spend it on implements for his army, all these things, you know. The steward was very important. He was utterly trusted. Utterly trustworthy. Abraham didn't mind that he didn't know what all his money was. It was safe in the hands of his steward. Okay. Ministers, Paul, believers, are stewards of the mysteries of God. It's entrusted to us. We know what the gospel is. We know the importance of it. We know the value of it. We know how it will change people, but we're stewards. We're to use those resources. We're to tell people. We're to help people. We're to explain to people so that they can come in into this marvellous plan that the Lord has of salvation for men and women. Stewards of the mysteries of God. They do use the term stewards on board ship in various other places, but it's not as common a word as it was. But it was the senior, most trusted servant in any family. The one who didn't belong to the family, well, he did belong to the family, but he wasn't of blood birth. But he could be trusted with anything. You read the story of Abraham. So one of my favourite stories, Abraham's Genesis 24, long, long chapter, nearly 70 verses. Tells about how the steward could even be trusted with the ladies, alone with Abraham's son's wife he was bringing back, but he didn't molest her, kept control of all the others. He was trustworthy in absolutely every respect. We are to be stewards, trustworthy in absolutely everything, but most of all in our speaking of and teaching the gospel. our soul of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, that's the beginning. Maybe you can remember some of those verses,
but I just wanted you to grasp the idea of steward and of mystery and of revelation. And we'll come on to some of the on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, including the barbecue night. I hope to deal with some of the things which are called mysteries in the New Testament.